Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, I'm Chua Tian Tian with your Market View. Today, we are going to be talking about infrastructure investments. Now, infrastructure investments, they've gained increased attention as broader equities weakened in 2022 due to inflation, rising interest rates, global supply chain disruptions from COVID-19, and of course, the war in Ukraine. We've seen equities trading on fast-moving events as well, making infrastructure's longer-term proposition more attractive to investors today. But as usual, where are the opportunities and potential income benefits for investors in this space? For more, I'm joined by Shane Hurst, Managing Director and Portfolio Manager of Clearbridge Investment. Now, that's Specialist Investment Manager of Franklin Templeton. Shane, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Shane. So we've mentioned this briefly about how infrastructure, in the introduction, about how infrastructure investments are stretched across a longer investment horizon, perhaps how it's more stable for investors. But just how stable are infrastructure investments? Are there any examples or any benchmark we can look at?
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Look, when understanding infrastructure and utility assets, it's really important to focus on the fact that they are essential service in nature. And so what that means is your gas, water, electric, road, airport or rail assets are really crucial to the way societies work and societies function. And so why they're stable is they are regulated, they have long-term concession contracts. And just to give you an example of that, one of our portfolio holdings is the Eurotunnel. So it's a tunnel connecting France between connecting France to England, which has a concession life, so a life of ownership of 50 to 60 years. So what does that do? Well, that produces a certain type of outcome. That produces stable cash flows, stable dividends, inflation pass-through, diversification, and also exposure to some very, very strong thematics such as decarbonisation.
And I understand you also mentioned that infrastructure returns also accelerate over time compared to equities. Tell us a little bit more about that. What is the difference in returns we are looking at this point?
Yeah, no, absolutely great question there. So look, infrastructure assets, whether they're roads, airports, rail, electric, you know, again, water, utilities, they need to continue to organically grow in order to keep pace with demographic change, economic growth in society. And so there are also, as I mentioned, a number of themes. So again, just looking at an example, a regulated electric utility has an asset base set by a regulator, often, you know, every 3-4 years. Investors, whether they're equity or credit, they earn a return off it. And then every year that utility will invest to maintain and improve their system and efficiency, but also in areas like decarbonisation. So certainly that's been a tailwind for us and tailwind for infrastructure assets with massive amounts of investment needed to move towards net zero. Now, infrastructure is a big contrast to equities and traditional stocks, which tend to follow more boom and bust cycles, such as the business cycle, obviously.
And I understand among those types of infrastructure assets that Clearbridge is looking to invest right now, regulated assets, how is it more stable in terms of the cash flows that you'll get from revenue?
Yeah, so look, that is absolutely correct, obviously. Valuation, investment thesis, guidelines, and they are very, very detailed risk measures in the way we determine which assets get put into the portfolio. But we have been increasing our exposure in areas like Western Europe and the US. We've been reducing our contracted renewable exposure in certain areas. And then if you look at some of those additions, they've really come with very clear thesis and catalysts. We've been taking profits in other parts of the world, whether it be U.S. utilities, energy midstream in the U.S., or some of the roads, airports, or rail companies that have benefited from the COVID recovery re-rating, and we're just realizing value.
And in terms of the revenue-wise, how is it more stable, I suppose, compared to other forms of assets and infrastructure? Because I'm guessing that the government will regulate the prices along the way, right?
Yeah, no, they are. And that's exactly right. And that's why it is stable. I mean, if you are a regulator, you set prices, you often set volumes, you set returns, and you set asset levels. And so as a result of that, the outcome is a very stable cash flow, very stable dividend, but importantly, a growing dividend and very attractive risk-adjusted return to equity.
Hmm. And in terms of the ticket size, would it be too large per se, or will you have to wait too long before you get the returns coming in? Because I understand your projects can be 50 years, 60 years in terms of the contracts.
No, so look, with our strategies, they are all listed. They're all listed on the market. Mm. They're all mature assets. In terms of how the timing for us to realise returns tends to be 1 to 2 years mm. in terms of earning our return outcomes. Again, we aren't investing in those high volatile cash flow assets that need to be built. These are assets that are stable and are established and are able to generate some very stable cash flow and dividend growth.
Mm. And Shane, in one of your reports, you mentioned how ClearBridge is focusing on user pay assets. Tell us a little bit more about that. Why is that an investment of choice?
Yeah, look, we do like user pay or transport infrastructure assets.
Mm.
And we have substantially increased our position, especially during the COVID period in 2020. Lately, I'd say we have been taking some profits as a lot of those COVID tailwinds in terms of recovering traffic, whether it be airport, road or rail traffic, have played through. So some of our key exposures in our income strategy include Transurban Group, which owns toll roads in Australia and the US, Ferrovial, owning toll roads in Canada, Europe, as well as a minority stake in London Heathrow. I've mentioned the Eurotunnel or Getlink, obviously on the Channel Tunnel. And then finally, AENA, which owns a number of Spanish and global airports. So they're some of our key holdings.
Mm. If you're just tuning in, we are now speaking to Shane Hirst. He's the Managing Director and Portfolio Manager of ClearBridge Investments, which is a specialist investment manager of Franklin Templeton. Now, Shane, I understand your company is also looking at green infrastructure amid the push towards net zero. And in your report, you mentioned several areas like EVs, energy infrastructure pipelines. But what is your preference and perhaps why?
Yeah, look, no, you're right. There is no better theme to discuss than decarbonisation or that green transition. And really, infrastructure and utilities are at the forefront of capturing the benefits of that. How big is the opportunity? US $36 trillion needs to be spent in clean energy spend 2050, with $16 trillion of investments in electricity networks. So, you know, huge amount of upside. For us, how do we invest? Well, we don't take technology risk and we really invest in the underlying infrastructure. We see opportunities in clean energy through contracted renewables as they roll out wind, solar, hydro and batteries. Companies we own are companies like Next Era Energy Partners. Global regulated utilities are also very attractive for us. They are rolling out renewables. They're retiring coal plants. They're strengthening their networks, so making them far more robust. And then they're moving to cleaner fuel sources such as hydrogen. And an example there is a company, Iberdrola, which is a Spanish utility. And then finally, we are seeing companies starting to facilitate that transition in North America. They are your energy infrastructure companies who are, in fact, building carbon capture networks. They're building hydrogen pipelines. An example of a company there is an energy infrastructure company based in Canada called Pembina Pipe.
Hmm. Sounds very interesting with lots of companies and examples that you mentioned there. But for investors and fund managers, how should they be investing in infrastructure assets? Which means, what should they be looking at in the first place? Listed partners, unlisted players, or tried and tested players, as you have said, those in solar and wind?
Yeah. So look, we certainly think funds like ours are a good place to start. And there are obviously a number of platforms to access those funds. We run a globally diversified portfolio of companies, which, you know, importantly satisfies our definition of infrastructure. They aim to deliver stable cash flows and dividends, an inflation-neutral outcome, diversification, and also exposure to, you know, themes like decarbonisation, growing mobile data demand, recovery from COVID, and the mispricing which we're seeing at the moment, actually, between unlisted and listed companies. So listed companies tend to be about 30% cheaper than unlisted funds. So while unlisted exposures may be attractive, access to liquidity and the quality of assets will sometimes be difficult to get in the unlisted forum.
Tell us a little bit more about the difference in the pricing between the listed and unlisted players. Why are we seeing that 30% difference? Is that because of the market slump we saw?
Yeah, no, excellent question. Look, there's a number of reasons. Firstly, there is a huge amount of capital sitting on the sidelines, $300 billion of capital sitting in unlisted funds needing to buy assets. The most liquid and some of the highest quality assets really are in listed markets. So they've come to listed markets to access it. Why do they do that? They tend to have a lower cost of capital. Listed companies tend to be some of the highest quality and most available capital. And for unlisted parties, you know, in the end, they continue to offer an illiquidity premium, for a lot of pension funds to hold companies because they don't have to mark to market day by day. But you know, certainly we are seeing that difference. The other point is obviously these are long duration assets, and as a result of that, these unlisted companies want to buy these assets and hold them for many, many years and can do that at a much lower cost of capital.
I see. In the meantime, Shane, one last question. What should investors be wary of when investing in infrastructure projects or assets?
Yeah, look, excellent question. Look, I think the first thing is the definition of infrastructure. So we are very careful to exclude illiquid companies and those volatile assets that may be like infrastructure but don't produce those same outcomes in returns, i.e. they're far more volatile. So some examples of assets we would exclude, so not include, would include energy and retail, E&P, logistics businesses or unregulated businesses, because these are all far too volatile to own for us in our portfolios and they don't produce the right outcome. I think the other thing to look out for is you can't really trust the indices out there. We are an index unaware manager. We construct our own universe. We exclude those volatile cash flow assets. And if you look at a number of the indices out there, whether they be the FTSE, the MSCI, or the S&P, neither have distinct skews, and really they often have access and exposure to very volatile assets. And those assets, again, we exclude from our universe. I think the final point is really understanding the political or regulatory environment, because as we know, in current markets, energy prices have been high, and that has really put some strain on the consumer. As specialist infrastructure investors like us, we spend a lot of time thinking about those issues, investigating those issues, and really invest through a lens of that consumer bill pressure, so we can avoid those companies that are exposed to poor regulation, or those companies that may be exposed to poor political situations that may impact returns to us.
Thank you very much, Shane, for your insights. That was Shane Hirst, Managing Director and Portfolio Manager of Clearbridge Investments, that specialist investment manager of Franklin Templeton.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.